Good morning and welcome to Tithesday tonight. Pastor Christopher is on vacation, so you get me instead. So that means a little bit of difference because we can't have communion when Pastor Christopher is not here or a pastor. So we're going to do something different for communion, which, trust me, it'll be fun and kind of goes along with the message for today. A couple of announcements. We're looking for additional people that would like to be part of the setup team on Mondays to do this part of the setup. We usually have four teams, and we're down to like three teams, so like a once-a-month commitment of 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So if you're interested, see me. And also, I know Dave talked earlier about looking for someone else that might be interested in learning how to run the sound. So if you know anybody that might like to do that once a month, that would be helpful. It's fairly easy to do once you know how to do it. It's easy, I hear. So let's start tonight in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for those gathered here today, and we wish the best for Pastor Christopher, that he may have rest on his vacation and rejuvenate for the times ahead for him in his transition. And be with each one here, that our eyes, our hearts, and our ears may be open to whatever it is you have for us tonight. Be with each one of us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture is going to come from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, and this reading is from the Message translation. Be at silence and peace as you listen for the Holy One. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own Spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior to the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If someone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase from the second reading of the text. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own Spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, God has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how could he love the God we can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. during this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention for yourself or someone else. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle or during our time that typically is for communion or as you exit the service. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love, so you can't know him if you don't know love. This is how God showed us his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love, and we take up permanent residence in a life of love. We live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't know love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as a Savior to the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, and now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, "I love God," and goes right on hating his brother and sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. So tonight, I thought for our Taizé service the day after Easter, what better topic to talk about? Love. Since the entire Holy Week and Easter experience is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. So our scripture tonight from 1 John, it speaks to us about how God's love becomes part of our lives, and as that happens, we're to reflect then his love outwardly to others. Thank you. Excellent timing. Everything Jesus did in life and death was supremely loving. The Holy Spirit gives us this power to love. He lives in our hearts, and he makes us more and more like Christ. God's love always involves a choice and an action on our part. And our love should be like this, a choice and an action to love others. So the Greeks use three different words for love. First one is phileo, and that describes more of a kinship kind of love, brother, sister, mother, parent, child, or really close friends. So it's kind of a kinship. The second, eros, that describes more of a conditional love based upon attraction and that you're going to get a benefit of some sort from the other person. The third kind of love is agape love, and that describes unconditional love. It's the love that it's freely given, and it's unrelated to our deserving it or earning anything for it. It's very self-sacrificing love, and it reflects total commitment to the one who's loved. The night that he was betrayed, Jesus emphasized the significance of the agape relationship by declaring that the greatest expression of love is to actually lay down your life for someone. That's what true love is. While few of us are ever going to be called to actually lay down our physical life for another, we are all called to sacrificial love on a daily basis. That's what he calls us to do. That's the agape love. This is what our life in grace looks like. So agape love is the kind of love that God has for each one of us. So God's love, it's the source of all human love, and it spreads like fire. So in loving his children, us, God kindles a flame in our hearts, and in turn, we love others. And we warm their hearts through our love of God going through to them. So when we experience others' agape love towards us, we begin to move towards accepting God's love in us personally. It's a way to just kind of hit it home that, hey, God loves us, and we experience that through human love of agape love towards us. So when people with all their human courage and their frailties, when they love us with sacrificial, unconditional love, we catch a glimpse of the depth of God's love for us through those of another human. And when we provide agape sacrificial love to others, we're giving them this glimpse of heaven on earth. So a lot of times, especially in our book study we did this Lent season with John, it talked about eternity. And we don't wait until death to experience eternity. It's about experiencing it now. This is what they're talking about. It's about having these little pieces of heaven on earth because we're loving others with this agape love and we're receiving that from others. So I used to think, probably like 5 years ago, that we had this much love, right? So each one of us is given a container of love and it has a top. So if I wanted to love all of you in this room, I needed to divvy my love up this much and a little bit to each one of you. Maybe you'd get a little bit more because I know you more. You'd get a little slice and you'd get a little bit. But this is the love that I had to give to you guys or whomever it was that was in my world. But what I realized is it's more like this. Kind of open up the top and imagine that it's going under a spigot, right? And water is flowing into this container. And what happens is as we practice this sacrificial agape love, there's no top to the container. The more we practice it, it just kind of overflows, and the more that you have to give, and it just keeps replenishing itself. It's like this renewable resource and just being and giving agape love. So it is not this finite thing. It is more and more giving, which I thought was kind of neat to experience. So God created us for community, right? Without it, we're restless and we're incomplete. So we need the supportive, caring touch of others to put the stamp of authenticity upon us, kind of let us know that we're loved. And since we have this type of love from God, he calls us to be this type of love to others. So agape love, it's about supporting one another. It's not a love based on judgment and expectation, and that's the kicker. It's freely given to others with absolutely nothing expected in return. Because we're humans and we have a lot of layers of self-interest that we have to overcome during this process of practicing agape love, it takes time to learn how to communicate this agape love to others. It doesn't just flip a light switch and all of a sudden we know how to do that, because we are somewhat self-centered beings. So this is an integral part of growing in our spiritual walk. It takes time to mature our understanding of sacrifice and to refine our expressions of sacrificial love. We need to grow in our understanding of and willingness to sacrifice. So sacrifice, it implies that we're offering something personal and precious, right? We're offering ourselves in a really real way to people. So a few years ago, God provided a really beautiful lesson for me. I didn't like it at the time, right? But it was, I get it. And it helped me understand sacrificial love. It was such a simple example. But through it, it helped me understand the difference in what I learned to call ultimate joy or primary joy and what I learned to call sideline joy or secondary joy. So what happened was I had a very close friend who was accomplished something in their life, and they were going to this event and I wanted to record it for them. And I gave them a gift that every time that they would be able to look at this gift, they would be able to take them back to the moment and all the life before that it took them to get to that moment of accomplishment. And I couldn't wait to put it together. I couldn't wait to give it to the person as a gift because I love giving the perfect gift. And I thought this was it. And so I gave it to the person with a card, and it was never acknowledged, right? And I was crushed. It wasn't acknowledged, not even that, thank you, this is meaningful. No, not verbally, not written, and nothing. So I really, it took me about 3 weeks to work myself through this. But what I realized and where I got ultimate joy from is the sacrificial agape love. It meant that I did that project for the person. I did that gift for the person sacrificially with nothing expected in return, right? Except to give them joy and a remembrance of that moment and that accomplishment that they had. That's ultimate joy, right? That's the agape love that we're talking about. The sideline joy or secondary joy comes when someone actually does do the appreciation of it and you receive an appreciation of love given. But that is just sideline. And no matter whether in that moment I ever received a thanks for it or some kind of affirmation of appreciation, it didn't matter anymore, because I needed to go by the ultimate joy is what's important. So it really helped me as I went forward from that experience, moving through and practicing love. It's never really about defining my identity or placing or being defined by another person's affirming of me or something that I've done for them as an action of love. It really helped me work through that. You love just because that's what we're called to do. And it takes a lot of practice and grace on ourselves as we practice putting ourselves out there in love. And we go through, there's a lot of growing pains, right? It was painful to not receive, you know, to want so much for that perfect gift to be acknowledged and it not be acknowledged. And this is just a really tiny example, but you know, it happens all the time. It's very easy that that can happen. But it was a great example of how to learn how to love sacrificially. So as we grow in our understanding of God's sacrificial love for us, we're going to mature in ways that we express sacrificial love to others. And likewise, when we make the effort, the sacrifice, God's grace becomes more abundant in our life as well. There's this joy in knowing that you have placed others before yourself, and that through your acts of agape love, they may come to know God's love for them and live the life of grace, right? Because every time we're out there being love to another person, they are receiving God's love through us. It's like really beautiful. So yesterday we had a sunrise Easter service, and it's led by the high school seniors. And it was such an example of how there are so many blessings that are received through acts of agape love. And the three seniors got to give their testimony yesterday. And they did such a beautiful job sharing what this church and their experience has meant to them. And each one of them gave, like one person shared their experience with Royal Family Kids Camp. And this summer will be her third year at the camp, but her fourth year actually helping since its inception. And she shared how she went to do the camp mainly just to go help out these kids, right, that didn't have a good life. What she never, ever realized was the love she was going to have for each one of these and the joy that she was going to receive being part of their lives. And she shared three separate examples of different kids and their stories and what they meant to her. And her life changed because of that experience, the blessing she received by giving unconditional love to this group of kids far outweighed the cost of giving that love. Another one was similarly talking about how she's deciding that through a mission trip she went on, her calling in life is to become fashion design, a major, but she wants to pair it because of going on mission trips and her love for helping others in some way of helping through the clothing industry those who are less fortunate. So she's going to take her passion of fashion with her love of mission work and somehow pull those together. And it was because of her experience going on mission trips and having this agape love through other people. And the other person is also, through Royal Family, has a calling to become a lawyer, but to also be a lawyer for those that are underserved and underprivileged. And again, these are people that were just giving what we call agape love opportunities and receiving so much more in return. So offering acts of agape, sacrificial love, on behalf of others so that they can move closer to accepting God's love for them is a significant part of our continuing life in grace. Being loved to others, it's a choice, right? Love is an action. A lot of times you think it's this feeling you have, but actually love is an action. It's a verb. It's an action and it's a choice. And so look around at your home, at work, and in your community. What situations provide you the chance to offer agape love to others? There's so many opportunities to be loved to others. Little simple gestures, seriously, opening a door for someone, giving a smile to someone at a cash register, asking them how they're doing, right? There are so many simple ways that can make someone's day, and also the greater acts of love. Jesus is the complete expression of God in human form, and he has revealed God to us. When we love one another, the invisible God reveals himself to others through us, and his love is made complete. So tonight, again, because we can't do communion, I thought we'd still have a little bit of fun, meaningful fun, all around agape love, and I hope this does not spill on me. There we go. That wasn't too bad. That was good. Not too bad. All All right. So I need it's quite beautiful and is meaningful to what we're talking about today. And then after we do the reading, I have these little sayings that someone gifted me. She was quite lovely to do that. And she gifted me these little sayings that you can give to other people. So this one says, God bless you, and you can say to and from if you want to, or write someone a little note on them. There's ones that say, friendship is God's way of bringing sunshine to our day. You make the world a better place just by being in it. So I have some versions of these, and after we do the liturgy, feel free to come up and choose one for yourself. And if it's meaningful for you, go ahead and keep it. But ultimately, I was hoping that you would actually take this and find someone in your world to pass it along as a way of practicing agape love. One more. Some of these are colorful ones, so if you want to color it and give it to them or give it to them to color, that's fun too. Okay. So for our liturgy tonight, people are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Thank you. So come up as you're able, and feel free to take one of these and pass it along.
Thank you.
Tonight, knowing how absolutely deeply you're loved by God and how hopeful He is that we go out into the world and we be love, His love, to those we cross paths with, that we can be difference makers for them. Go in peace.